Hello and welcome everybody to The Thing I Love Most show. My name's Noel Valbon. This week I am joined on the sofa by Matt. Welcome back, Matt. And Don, once again, representing.
Hello.
Big Bag Don, back in the areas. So, what a week. Oh man, it's been amazing. We spoke last week about us having to have, or almost getting to that stage of now thinking, it's going to happen sometimes, we're going to have a performance. We had that performance. It was one of those games where it was just like, that was how we used to play, like sort of maybe like 18 months ago, you know, terrorising teams, like absolutely annihilating them. It should have been about 6-0. It was just incredible. We were just like all over them. We made them look terrible. Yes, they defended badly. Yes, Louise defended absolutely ridiculously badly. But still, the pressure that we put on them as a team from the front was honestly something to behold. It was one of the best performances I can remember in recent times. It was absolutely incredible. And it was just, I'm still buzzing from it.
Well, it's just one of those games, wasn't it, where, you know, as Spurs fans, we kind of, we could be 3-4-0 up and we're like still thinking we could lose this, but you just knew you weren't going to lose it from the first minute. It's fantastic.
It was just control. That was all it was. You know, they weren't threatening at all. I mean, obviously, having the boys back, the sort of the I think the Fab Four, as Paul Ince called it this week, I think is a testament to how well we perform in terms of going forward. Obviously, we've had Moore and Lamella come in that have done well. They've performed, they've scored, they've contributed, and, you know, we've needed them. So I'm very thankful for that. But I think there's a calmness around the team when Eriksen is playing. I think there's a creative element which comes from other players around him knowing what he's going to do and the quality he has. You know, the runs that people make off the ball when he's on the ball, that's the key. I think you can see Kane is a completely different player when Eriksen plays. He's so much more of a threat, and Ali also brings work. So the cohesion, the understanding that Ali and Eriksen have is just amazing.
Telepathic, really.
It's amazing. And then what happens is then is they create space for Son, and Son is, you know, he's incredible at working on the break, and, you know, finding that space and making the most of it. So it was great to see them back.
Yeah, I mean, first game in God knows what was the first game they've started this season, but that's what a World Cup does to you. They were all featured in the World Cup, you know. Ali and Kane and Son to the latter stages of the World Cup. Eriksen has been injured. Son's also played in the Asia Cup. So finally, we get them all back, and we can see what damage they do.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
And the thing is, like, you know, you're saying about the understanding they've got. They have got that, haven't they? Because they've played with each other for a while. Yeah. You know, they know how to read each other. They know, you know, when to make runs. And yeah, you're right. Eriksen, I mean, he's different gravy, isn't he? You know, and the way the other players work off him is just fantastic. I mean,
he's the main player for me. I think he's like the fulcrum. If he's on form, we normally will win and we'll normally create. That's the thing. He's just, when he gets the ball around the box, that's when things happen. If he doesn't play, then there's a little bit of uncertainty. And, you know, I think Moura is good, but I just think he just still doesn't really know what he's doing yet. I think there's just, like, he goes on these amazing little runs, which is wicked. You know, he sort of means that players around him, the defenders come to him, so he creates space for other players. But when he gets in those positions, it just doesn't seem to necessarily have the end product. But, you know,
and that probably comes to, you know, a lot to say about the players, the Fab Four. You know, I like Moura; he's a good player, but they're still trying to understand him, aren't they? Mm. And that's the problem. So, you know, they're not knowing how, you know, where he, you know, obviously he's making the runs, but yeah, they don't know how to judge his end product. Do you know what I mean? So that'll come hopefully. But at the moment, yeah, if those four are fit and you know, I want to see them playing every game, because they just destroyed Chelsea, didn't they? I mean, I know that David Luiz didn't have a good game, but he was just made to look ordinary. Yeah, but he was just made to look so ordinary.
Do you know what? Shout out to Poch as well for the tactics of, you know, nullifying Jorginho.
Yes.
Because up until that point in the season, I'm, you know, you do look at other teams, you look at their players in the team, and you look for who the stars are, who's improving that team. And Jorginho, for me personally, I know Hazard is their most important player, but Jorginho has been their most important player this season.
To be fair, Martinez did it against Chelsea. Silva, the Everton coach, he played Sigurdsson, and he did a similar thing, marking Jorginho, when they drew 0-0 at the Bridge. So okay.
He put Dele Alli on him, didn't he?
Yeah, it really worked to put an attacking player to nullify that threat, because then the ball was going out to Kante on the right, and Kante's not as good on the ball and doesn't have that same passing ability, and so that a lot of their attacks just broke down, especially on their right hand side.
Would you say that we've basically given every team in the Premier League the blueprint to beat Chelsea?
Yeah, yeah.
Hopefully.
Hopefully.
Yeah, take it. I'll email it to you now. I don't, you know.
If they get relegated in the season.
And the rest of the team as well, I mean, it was one of those games where you literally, you know, every player was at least an eight. It was just one of those performances.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
But if you look at the back four, you know, arguably it was only one in Toby out of our chosen first choice back four. Obviously it was Davies, Foyt and Aurier. Aurier, very, very good game. Was mentioned along with Sissoko as controlling that right-hand side and negating Hazard, which is like...
Who would have thought you'd say that a few games ago?
Incredible. It's just incredible.
I mean, it's a few games. His form is so good that he can't be out of the team at the moment. I don't think you can rest...
Sissoko.
You can't rest him at the moment. He has to play all the time.
I'll even go as far as saying, I'd say 10 games ago, if I saw Sissoko on the first 11, I'd be like... But now I genuinely like want to see him in the first 11.
But equally, I think this season we've only lost one game where he started. So, okay, you don't really want to see him, but the fact is that.
But I agree with Matt, though. I think people are turning. Yeah, but I mean, it also comes down to Poch in that I think he made an error in playing him out of position. He was playing on the right wing for the first, you know, however many games and years at his career at Tottenham. You know, he's not a right winger. You know, he doesn't really cross the ball. He's a destroyer. He literally wins the ball so many times, and then he gets it, and then he goes on these really, really direct, pacey runs. He moves defence to attack so quickly. He did it the same against, obviously, Inter a couple of times last night, and we don't have another player that can do that. You know, Dembele, you know, he's been amazing for us, but he still doesn't have that pace of a transition. And the same with Winks, same with Dyer, you know. So it's a bonus to have him playing in such a way. But it also comes to confidence, you know. It comes with confidence, comes in confidence from the fans, you know, because we're now singing his name as opposed to sort of lots of fans that were, you know, literally booing him or like just really cussing him out when he hadn't even touched the ball. And it was like, I'd never seen that before at Tottenham in terms of such negativity towards someone. Obviously, I suppose it was to do with the fact that he was, you know, so much money spent on him. But I mean, now that we're seeing the player that why he got that much money, that why we paid 30 million for him. He's the player now who played in the Euro final. Those runs, you know, into the box, create chances for his mates.
Of course, and that's the thing as well. It's with the way he plays, it, like, you know, it's confidence, isn't it? Now he's getting he's becoming more confident, and he knows he's not got the fans on, you know, getting on his back. You know, they get behind him now. Yep. He's confident in making, and that is Sissoko, isn't it? You know, making them confident runs and then finding a player, you know, just his tearing the defence apart.
His confidence is kind of overflowing onto the other players in the team.
Yeah, of course.
Aurier is now. He's looking extremely confident when he plays. Mm-hmm. You know, with Trippier out, you were always a little bit cautious when you saw Aurier's name on the team sheet. Just a little bit, you know. He might make a mistake, or you know, he lacks sometimes the tactical positioning that Trippier has. It comes in sort of, you know, bursts sometimes.
Yeah,
but
sure.
He's together. They seem like, you know. Really good, really good.
I think with Aurier, he can be a bit rash sometimes, Connie.
Definitely. He's starting to get better, I think.
Yeah, and maybe that's what Poch is working on with him. You know, taking that kind of rashness out of him and, you know, not diving in when you don't need to. Because he's a good player. You know, he's got strength, he's got pace, and we're seeing the best of him now, aren't
Definitely.
We?
Definitely. Yeah.
So talking of diving in, Foyt
It was a penalty, wasn't it?
Should have given away a little penalty.
But, he does one every game. There's something yeah. there every single just, game. There's just,
it's, yeah, yeah, it's... he's still, I mean, obviously he's still young, he's still learning, he's only 20, and, you know, he's definitely showing signs of being, I think, a long-term prospect for us. I really do. I really like him. I like his confidence, and I think he's only going to learn from Poch, you know, putting his arm around him and, you know,
yeah, of course,
him.
Yeah, exactly. They're both Argentinian as well. But, you know, you notice when that penalty appeal happened, you know, it was a penalty, wasn't it? But a lot of players, centre back or wherever, they were just lumped it because they thought, well, I've give away a penalty, I'm going to lump it. But he didn't. He found a player, didn't he? So even in that kind of that moment when you'd be really normally really stressed as a player,
potentially a ref might think twice if he lumped it away, but because he didn't.
He's composed enough to think, right, let's just play it out, and it just and that's I think a real testament to him, you know, that because we all talk about his composure, and that is one of his real. Like that's one of the things that we, you know, that's probably getting him into the team at the moment. And
I think in the past as well, where we've had, you know, Jan and Toby at the helm, and one of them's got injured, obviously back to the Wimmer time where Wimmer came in and it never destabilised the defence. You had that, it just literally was like seamless when Wimmer came in. But Jan got injured. Am I right in saying he got injured against Chelsea? And Wimmer came in. I'm sure, if we look back, I think it was that was the game that he came in on. And then, you know, three or four games into it. But this feels different to me. It feels as if that... now I feel as if I'm not sure who could be the centre-back partnership. We've got four tremendous centre-backs. Yeah. And they're all good.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to see how it ends up. You know, is Jan... I'm sorry, is... Juan Foyth and Sanchez, is that the future, or is it you know that, you know, we've seen them all. The only one we haven't seen is Foyth and Vertonghen. I haven't seen that partnership. But that's the one partnership. But everything else,
or a three as well,
or a three at the back.
You could easily go for a three now, which I think would suit Sanchez and Foyth.
See, I think Foyth would work well with Vertonghen because Sanchez has worked well with Vertonghen last. But they played together a lot last season, didn't they? And that's one of the things with Vertonghen, isn't it? You know, he's what, 31, so he's got lots of experience, but he's passing on that to the young players, isn't he? And it's a bit like, do you remember with Ledley King? You know, there was other, like Michael, I loved Michael Dawson for his passion, but he was never the best centre-back. No. But alongside Ledley King, it didn't matter really, did it? You know, so when you've got certain defenders like that, then it allows the others, I'm not saying it's to hide their lack of ability, but it just means that they're more comfortable when they're playing alongside someone like Vertonghen. So I fantastic that he's back. I know obviously he didn't play the Chelsea game, but now we know he's fit, and you know, it's a massive bonus to have Vertonghen back, I think.
So it was a start that we wanted on Saturday, and then yesterday against Inter, we got the result we wanted. It was a bit of like one of those ones we're trying to work out. It was still 1-0 good enough. What was going to happen if Inter scored? Because then we might need three goals. And it was a bit nervy towards the end. But it was a quite a dominant game. I didn't think really Inter showed much. I didn't think they really sort of like looked particularly threatening. They obviously came to try and get a draw, or at least to try and just like negate us. And I suppose that worked to a certain degree. Second half, I thought we were quite poor until Son and Eriksen came on, and then it was a little bit more lively around the box. But it was a great goal, really, really good goal. Obviously, we spoke about it earlier on, but Sissoko's run again was fantastic. Great play from Ali, great awareness. He could have tried to shoot himself. He could have maybe been a bit more greedy, but having the awareness, just lay it off. And then Eriksen with his left peg, happy days. And now we are second place in the league table. Behind Barcelona, and now we just got to go to Nou Camp and win. Just
easy.
I mean,
easy.
It's, they only beat PSV 2-1. We only have to actually better or actually match Inter's result. So, you know, who's to say PSV won't get a draw at Inter Milan? It could happen. No?
Yeah, it could happen. I'm just going back to the game. I think I felt that there was a nervousness going into the game because you lose the game, you're out.
Yeah, basically. Draw it,
you're out, you know, so you have to win the game, exactly. So you could see that, even though we were having chances, it just didn't feel like Saturday.
Moro miss was a big miss. It was like that's what I was talking about earlier on. It's like he's got to take those chances. He just doesn't really seem massively confident in that situation. It was such great play. It was a really, really good cutback from Sissoko, and I think it was Ali that dummied it. And then it was like, just smash it. It's a pass back.
Yeah.
So frustrating.
Did you guys think, like, before we scored that goal that this wasn't going to happen? I was trying to stay positive, but I was
confident. With the players that we have. Yeah.
You see it coming anyway, yeah.
Yeah, I thought so. I mean, it was obviously late. It would have been nicer to have been a bit early. But then I was saying to my mate, it was the same. Like, I'm more comfortable at 0-0 than I am at 1-0. Like, you know, I hate going 1-0 up.
Yeah.
Because then all that can happen is pretty much just, like, really, really negative stuff. Yeah. It's like, it can only go wrong. Yeah. Even at 2-0, it's like we were saying before, it's classic Spurs fan. Yeah. It's like, you're just still not comfortable. But it's like 0-0, you know, you're just there. You're at a level that can only go higher. Obviously, Inter could score and then it would be just disaster. But still, I just find when you go 1-0 up, I'm just like, oh, man. It's just the most frustrating thing. But it was good. It was another good performance from Soko. Winks, I thought, played quite well. Great to see Yan back. Amazing to see Yan back. He's going to be so important for us. Really, really good. And it was a bit of a shame that Rose didn't get a chance to come on because he was warming up for quite a while, but he maybe might start on Sunday. I don't know. Probably not, but he could be fit enough.
Well, the thing is, Pochettino's been talking about the importance of rotating, and I think he's becoming a lot more clever of rotating now, isn't he? So you can see Rose, you know, potential him starting on Sunday.
Yeah, potentially. I'd like to see him sooner rather than later. Nothing wrong with what Davis is doing at the moment. It's just that you know that the amount of energy that the fullbacks expel on you know, game by game, you have to keep changing it. You know, you're going to have to. Luckily for Aurier, he hasn't played that many games, so this run, you know, I'm sure he'll be okay to play against.
He's obviously still quite fresh, isn't he? So, yeah.
Whereas Davies, I think, you know, I don't know how many games Rose has played this season.
Hardly any, is it?
You could probably count them on one hand.
Yeah.
So,
oh, definitely.
Yeah. So there you go.
But I think. He just offers so much more for me going forward, and that's really key.
He needs a run of games.
Yeah.
The times that I have seen him this season, still not. I'm not convinced.
He's not up to the level of 2 years ago.
Exactly.
No. But he's still got more quality when he gets in those positions than Davies. Davies, more often than not, will hit the first defender with his crosses, or he'll overhit it. But Rose might do something a little bit, might jink past someone. You know, he's just got that bit more about him, basically.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
He is missed, I think, on that left-hand side. But
you always get the feeling with Davies, he's more of a safe left-back, isn't he? He's like a more, you know, whereas Rose will take more risk.
Forward.
Yeah.
I'm, you know, as I said, I think it's probably time for the rotation now. So I wouldn't mind seeing him play against Arsenal. I don't want it to sound as if I'm upset with what Davies has done. I think he's been, you know, we've given plaudits to other players, but he's been a constant in the team.
Mm.
I'm not saying he's blowing up trees, but he has played and done a pretty good job of it. So, you know, hats off to him for kind of holding it down whilst he's...
blowing up trees, a saying? Do people say that?
Yeah, I've heard them.
I'm just thinking, that sounds really cool.
That sounds cool.
Googling it.
Yeah. All right, so... we're going to obviously do preview before the game when we go to Barcelona, but just your general thoughts on the position that we're in. Obviously, PSV, like we said, could potentially get a result against Inter. Inter looked pretty average last night.
PSV are all right. They're not a bad team.
They didn't really look like they had a goal in them. You know, Icardi is obviously the man, but they're not firing on all cylinders. So, you know, I think it's obviously a case of us being confident of going to Barca and getting a result, but it's also us being confident in PSV potentially getting a result there. The fact that Barcelona qualified, the fact that they're second in the league, so you know they're still up there. Do you think the manager is going to rest their star players, or do you think he'll go full squad?
Well, that's the thing. You're right, aren't you? They've won the group, haven't they? Like whether they win, lose, or draw, they've won the group. So the Spanish league at the moment is weird, isn't it? It's like Real Madrid are like something like sixth or seventh at the moment, aren't they? That league is just really odd this season. So I'm hoping that Barcelona go, right, we've qualified now for the Champions League. We're going to be top no matter what. Let's focus on the league and put a lower. You're looking like they're going to.
Because I don't think they're going to do that. They haven't lost a game there, like in European competition, in something like 9 years.
They're definitely not going to put they're not going to put like a second team.
Well, no,
but they
may rest
a couple.
Yeah, they're not going to put the kids out.
Even their, you know, even their second team is quite decent.
Yeah, of course.
But,
if they rest Messi, then I'll be happy with that.
That would be enough. I mean,
if you look at the game at Wembley, obviously that we lost, you know, barring stupid mistakes, we actually played quite well, and their defence looked suspect, and we can get at their defence. So there's definitely no reason why we can't think of going there and scoring. And then we just basically want to hope that, you know, Lloris has a blinder, and you know, Jan and Toby turn up, and you know, we're able to shut them out. I can definitely see it happening. I can definitely see it happening. Like, you know, they're not far. I mean, they got lost to Real Betis at home the other day. Like they're not the team that they were, like, you know, 5-6 years ago.
I think you get caught up in just the fact that it's at the Nou Camp and it's Barcelona. You just can't get past those two things, I think. But you're right. They're beatable, aren't they? They are beatable. So why shouldn't we go there and think we're going to win the game?
It means so. Like, it was so nice to obviously go to Barcelona with something. You know, if we'd have just gone there, because like quite a lot of us are going, and it's just like you just wouldn't want to be there. It's a bit of a dead rubber. You know, it wouldn't be the same. But now, you know, if we get a goal there, whew, that is
on.
Yeah, I'll be blowing up trees. So we had an announcement on Wednesday that Robbie Keane was retiring from football. Now, I pretty much thought that he was already retired, but he was playing for Kolkata. He was playing for Atletico de Kolkata in the Indian League. Did not know that. So quite interesting. But it obviously enables us to discuss him for Spurs, because he was one of our very, very good players in the past 20 years or so. Disappointed some fans by going to Liverpool, obviously, even though we got him back on the cheap with a bit of a dodgy deal. But it was quite a strange move. But he was literally, I mean, God, he went to so many different clubs. His like CV is just like mental. But a really, really good performer. I'd loved him when he was with Berbatov. Like they had such a great
formidable
connection.
Partnership.
Such a great connection.
Probably the last sort of pure strike partnership.
Yeah,
that really worked.
In the Premier League, I would say.
Yeah, they really worked together. They were really, really good. And it scored a ton load of goals for us. So, yeah, what were your thoughts?
Yeah, he scored obviously quite a few goals, but a lot of them are really good goals as well, weren't they? He's one of them players where, you know, you look at the YouTube video or whatever, and you're like, wow, I forgot about it. I mean, my favourite one was that one against Blackburn, I think, where they sort of throw it and he's picked it up and he's managed to beat about three or four players, isn't he? It was an amazing goal. And like, how did that not go? I guess it was pretty because it was just like a normal game against Blackburn in the league, but it was such a phenomenal goal, and he scored loads of really good goals. I mean, I missed it when he stopped doing that celebration. I used to love the car celebration.
I love that. I love that.
I think when he got his toe, he was kissing his, and that was his new one. But yeah, it's a shame he didn't. The cartwheel one. Yeah, that was the one I used to love.
It was one of those ones. It was like, it's not the best, but we're getting used to
it's
it now. Yeah, exactly.
See, that's the thing. If he'd have kept that up, that would have been his thing on FIFA like the whole time. Like, you know, you press the button and that's it, you get the Keane celebration. Like, but yeah, he sort of realised that he was probably getting a bit too old for it.
I'm formidable player for us. In a time when we didn't have as many good players as we do now, he was a standout player. And rightly so, like you mentioned earlier on, the partnership with Berbatov was fantastic. They seemed to know each other inside out. My favourite goal is... Well, I've got two, actually. I think it was the goal against Chelsea in the 4-4.
Yep, another one. It rolled back to him and it curled up.
Yeah, amazing goal. Yeah. And then the other goal was... I don't know if he scored it, but where he done a Chelsea player... But he was playing on the left-hand side of midfield. Yeah. And I can't remember, he was a Dutch fullback that played for Chelsea. And he never played for them again. Like, literally, that was...
And he didn't touch the ball, did he?
No.
And he literally did like that. And then he just, yeah, he fell over, I remember that. And then he crossed it in. Yeah, I don't think he scored. But, yeah, it was a...
Yeah, it was, yeah.
And didn't he like also just nick the ball off the keeper once when the keeper rolled it
That's
out?
That's right, yeah.
And he nicked it in and then he tapped it in for the open goal. Yeah.
See, I know we obviously Van der Vaart retired recently, and we were talking about how much he loved the club. And it's the same, really, with Keane. I mean, they both have played for lots of clubs, but they both really love Spurs. And you know, I think even now, like, you know, he talks quite fondly about playing for Spurs, doesn't he? I mean, he was with us for a few years, wasn't he? But you know, he genuinely loves the club even now, and you can tell how much he loved the club when he's playing for us. So,
I don't know if you guys recall. When he went to Liverpool against Arsenal, I think at the Emirates, he scored against them. But you could see, oh, he just loved it. He loved it. He loved the fact that he was. It's almost like a double.
Double
celebration for them.
He didn't do another Bayol, did he?
No, he didn't do that. But yeah, it was. I'm obviously he's had an illustrious career, and I'm pleased that we had him in two spells.
Yeah.
Even though, part of me. He lost part of me when he came back the second time. I'm pleased that we had him for that amount of time. Just off 100 goals, so yeah. Legend, club legend.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
No club that is ours! No club that is ours!
Okay, so it's time to talk about Sunday. Obviously, it's one of those games for me that I don't even know if I like watching it because I hate so much to lose to them. And I'm like... We're discussing, there's lots of social media discussions about who our biggest rivals are and what the game is sort of means the most. And quite a lot of people have said that, like, the Chelsea game now seems to be above the Arsenal match. And for me, I think it's probably because I've been growing up in North London all my life. And when I went to school, there was literally half the school was Tottenham, half the school was Arsenal. And so there was no Chelsea fans. There was no West Ham fans. That was literally the split. And so that's the rivalry that I've had for, you know, 30-odd years. And I will always have that. And it's a local rival. They're down the road. And, you know, they hate us, we hate them. Obviously, in terms of the fierceness of it, you know, it waned a little bit when we weren't as good and now they're not as good. So it's not like we're really challenging at the top together. But I still think, you know, they've got a quality team and they could easily beat us, and I would hate that more than anything. So it's like, you know, you don't want to see it happen, but I'm confident we can go there and win.
Yeah, of course, yeah. I think for me, won't say his name, but Macclesfield Town's new manager, just how much I'm still really upset by what he did and going to that club just brings home for me how much I can't stand them. I think that's the thing for me. Just
I'm with
like,
you there.
I don't particularly like Chelsea. I don't particularly like West Ham, but it's just that club. I just hate everything about them, and I hate so little in life. I really try to be happy and like love them, but I just can't help but just hate them. Like, you know, everything about them, and yeah, they will always be for me my biggest rivals, definitely.
I don't know. I'm slightly. Sort of flippant, but it changes for me. I think it used to be Arsenal. At the moment, it's Chelsea. I just can't stand them, and I love the way it's kicked off now. But obviously, now that game's out of the way, the most important game is the game ahead. And I didn't grow up in North London. I grew up in South London, so a lot of the people in my class were Arsenal fans. And you know, there wasn't really that banter. The banter was between the Chelsea supporters and the Tottenham fans.
Okay.
It just seemed a bit more lively, if that's the right way to put it.
So what are your thoughts on the game? I mean, you know, we sort of like got it quite easy in the fact we had a home leg, and where are they? They don't even know where they are. They're like halfway around, like, is it Ukraine or Poland?
I mean, if we're honest, though, he's going to rest probably several senior players.
Yeah, but they're still, like, you know, Welbeck's injured, so they're a bit stretched up front.
Yeah,
so, you know, they might have to play some attacking players. So where are they again?
Ukraine.
Okay. Ukraine. But they had to move 200 miles.
It's martial law where they are.
That's,
I know,
that's crazy.
It's a bit grim, so... They've been disrupted in their preparation for this game, and hopefully it will affect their preparation.
I would have thought it might well do. Yeah. Our record there is not too bad. You know, it's all right.
Since 2010.
Yeah, could be better though. But we normally turn up there. But I think I don't know. I just look at their defence and I just think there's goals to be had against that team. And like I said, it's similar to the Barcelona game. You know. We can go there easily and win, you know, and they They're obviously not the attacking threat of Barcelona, but they're decent going forward. They've got some good players, and if they're on form, they can obviously score against anyone. But we've got to be confident.
Well, it goes without saying, if we play like we did against Chelsea, then we'll smash them. But we have to turn up again, don't we? We have to have that. If we can perform like we did against Chelsea, then yeah, I can just see it being just another Spurs win. But yeah, we need to be up for it, and
yeah, no fear.
Yeah,
blow up trees.
Yeah, exactly.
this is the security threat over here. We need to worry our viewers or listeners, but we did check his bag on the way in.
As long as it's just trees.
Yeah, just trees. Just yeah, trees exactly. Are blown up. Don't report me to Greenpeace or anything like that.
That's okay.
But going back to the game, moving into that game, we must go with no fear. And as Matt said, just, you know, adopt the same attitude from the get-go. Get at the team.
Yeah. I can't wait.
I can't wait.
They've got to play, haven't they? They're playing at home, so they've got to play. So if they're not going to, you know, if they come out to play and we come out to play, then yeah, I mean, by all means, we can beat them, can't we?
Fingers crossed. All right, well, that leaves us there. Thanks, guys, for stepping in once again, Matt and Don. Great to have you on board. Thank you very much, everybody, for watching and listening. Once again, you can find us on all various social media forums. We are on Twitter, TTILM Show. We're on YouTube, The Thing I Love Most Show. We're on Facebook, and we're also on Instagram. And we've appreciated all your support. Now I think we're up to 600 people following us on Facebook, about 4,000 on Instagram, about 500-600 on Twitter. So it's amazing. We really appreciate it. And we really appreciate your comments. So if there's something that you want us to talk about, or if you just want to get involved in the show, there's always space on the sofa for you. So we'd love to hear from you. So keep on watching, and up the Spurs this weekend. Let's fucking do them.